You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of September. Free agency. What is the landscape? What can the Jazz do? Who is out there? What does the rest of the league look like? We're delving in. We got time. It's Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making you way smarter today and making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan. All right, here's what I want to do over the next period of time. We've got 2 months plus. Today's a good example. We're going to delve in. Some of it's kind of geeky. We're going to talk about like the things that you like can never talk about, salary cap, luxury tax, because if we do this right, by the time we're done, you'll have a really good landscape of what it is. And then I think the other fun part is you'll actually just know the whole league really well. So the plan today is to kind of run through what the Jazz options are. Again, we really touched on it yesterday. That'll take a minute. Then we'll do the whole landscape of what's out there. Factor in 2021, look at some pieces, and then we'll look at who, if we have time, we'll look at who the free agents are. And then over the next period of time, we're going to break down each of those free agents. Over the next 2 months, we'll have 40 shows or so. And I'll take some time off. So we'll break down each of those shows or each of those free agents and kind of look at them at the same time prepping for the draft. So it should be a great deal of fun. Make sure you make this a part of your daily schedule. We'll be here for you each and every day for Locked On Jazz. All right, so let's start off and kind of give you what we have. Today's show, by the way, brought to you by our good friends over at Rock Auto. Gosh, they've done a great job. You know what the one that Rock Auto, windshield wipers, super, super easy over there. So anyway, Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All right, let's get to it. So we talked about it yesterday. The Jazz have three options. An emailer actually reminded me I kind of left one out. So they re-signed Clarkson with their bird rights, right? We talked about the different rights the Jazz had yesterday. Hopefully you heard the show. If not, you can go back. I'd stop, go back, listen to yesterday's, then come back to this one. Clarkson, sign it. The other thing you could do with Clarkson in theory is you could sign and trade him. So a sign and trade allows you to sign Jordan Clarkson for whatever number Jordan wants and trade him to a team for a player of equal value since you're over the cap with matching salary caps. So that is that's another possibility I didn't really get into. And the other thing in theory the Jazz could do is they could sign a free agent and trade one of their players. So if we set a $10 million free, $11 million free agent, whatever, what's Joe make? Like, I'm using this as an example because I think it's unlikely. But so let's say we had an $11, $12 million free agent and they wanted Joe Ingles. We could sign that $11, $12 million free agent and trade for Joe Ingles. Most of our contracts are pretty good value for us, so that seems unlikely. So we can sign Clarkson or sign and trade Clarkson. We have the mid-level exception and we have the biannual. That's what we talked about. So the mid-level exception, as it sits right now, and this all can change on a moment's notice when the league, and this is why we're all pushed back to November, because the league has to do all the math coming out of the bubble and how much money they lost. So let me give an example. Daryl Morey sends the China tweet. The belief is it cost the league about $60 million. This is actually pretty easy math. Cost the league about $60 million, various reports. The players and the owners split revenue 50-50. Therefore, $30 million hit, $1 million off the cap. 30 teams, right? Boom, boom, boom. So the cap, which was 109 this year, is projected to be at 115, but has a real chance to slide back toward the 109 area. This last year, the luxury tax was 132, is projected to be at 139. So again, the cap is 109.4 this year. It was projected out to about 115, but who knows now? Did we lose? If it's six, you know, did we lose 300 million? Then that number comes back down to 110. And then the luxury tax, which was 132 to 139, slides back to about 133. As we sit right now, understanding these numbers are going to come down, and there's some interesting aspects to this. The mid-level exception number is about $9.7 million. So a mid-level contract we could offer someone is a four-year, $42 million deal. That's the max you can offer on the mid-level. Remind me to get back to Jeremy Grant on that one first, and I'll see if I remember. There's something called a tax mid-level. That's if you're a tax team. There are about nine teams right now that are over the tax. There are another seven teams that if that salary cap slides back too far and we're one of them, we could suddenly end up over the tax accidentally, and then you're shedding contracts. That number is a three-year, $19 million deal. The room exception is a two-year, $10 million deal, and the biannual we have to offer is about a two-year, $7.8 million deal. So the mid-level we can offer someone is about a four-year, $42 million contract. The biannual we can offer someone is, let's just for simple sake call it a two-year, $8 million contract, okay? Those are kind of the two packages we can offer a free agent, and then there's some numbers here where we have to watch the tax and do some things to keep an eye on it. But that's the first one. Here's what gets really interesting on all of this. I mean, there's so many things. It's such a fascinating year because as the tax moves, the various things could happen to every team. So one of them is that Jeremy Grant of the Nuggets is a free agent he can opt out. He currently has a $9.3 million option. Well, everyone has assumed he's opting out because his worst case scenario is he gets a mid-level exception from someone at $9.8 million a year, four-year, $42 million deal. He's guaranteed to get that at worst. So in all likelihood, the Nuggets would go give him a four-year 50 or something like that to keep him above that. Two things get really interesting here, and this is where this is wild. One is, if the cap drops far enough, the mid-level drops as well with it. The mid-level's based off that cap number, and it could drop under the 9.3. Well, all of a sudden, maybe Jeremy Grant opts in and decides to wait a year until everything normalizes, and then he can get that better contract. Right? All of these deals, the max contract, the mid-level, all these deals are dealt with off what the cap number is. And if the cap number doesn't go from 109 to 115 like it's expected to, and he holds at 109 or even goes below 109, then the 4-year contract you sign, the 5-year extension you sign, that number goes down because it's based off that cap number and you're building off percentages of your first year. So that's where this whole thing gets really crazy this year. So the cap is sitting projected at 139. It was at 132. I'm guessing it's somewhere in the middle there. Excuse me, that was the tax. The cap was 109, is at 115. There are nine teams that are over the tax. There are seven teams that are borderline. I'm going to give you an example of the Indiana Pacers to get really interesting. And we're right there with the Pacers, frankly. And there are six teams that have cap space, and then two others where the cap space is probably going to disappear. So the first thing we're going to look at is who those teams are that have cap space, because they dictate a lot of what this free agent market is going to look like, and I'll explain that in a second. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I was so fired up over the weekend because I got two emails from listeners saying, hey, I want to go to Hyundai. Can you set me up? And then I got a text from Jason Creech, the salesperson over at Murdoch Hyundai, that we sold to Tucson. And I was totally fired up. So Austin Alm texted me, and then Mike Lawrence came by, and he got a brand new Tucson from Jason Creech over at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. So I'm excited to hear from Mike. I want to hear how the experience was. Congratulations to Mike. as he got himself a brand new Tucson from Jason Creech and the crew over at Murdoch Hyundai. 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan, also located in Linden. The SUV lineup's amazing. The Kona's the small zippy one. It lines right up with the Subaru, what is it, Sport Track or the Subaru crossover. Check that out. Look at those. Compare those two. The Tucson, which is what Mike just got, is the smaller. Santa Fe is which we've bought two of, actually. And then the Palisade is the big SUV that's just beautiful. That's all at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Today's show also brought to you by Rock Auto. I didn't know about this till Lucas Braun, Locked to Vikings, kind of pointed this out to me. Like, when we're talking about Rock Auto and having, like, this incredible catalog and remarkable, easy to navigate and all these amazing parts, like, it goes to windshield wipers. You know the streaks you get on your wipers and, like, you end up paying all this money and then... No. You go to rockauto.com, you plug your car and you find it. You actually might have to measure it. I had to measure mine. And then you just go and you slip them in and you just say, like, it's... I'm so lame. And on that one, I actually became a do-it-yourselfer. Woohoo! Way to go, Lock! Way to go, Lock, you car loser. But you might not be a car loser. RockAuto.com is there for you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or a professional or you're a car loser. RockAuto.com's got that unique and remarkably easy to navigate catalog with all sorts of different items out there. You put the car the year in, you can find it. Reliably low price. Same price for the professionals, the do-it-yourselfer. Not limited by being in the store and what they have available for you. You get the whole deal. So whether it is a Hyundai Santa Fe like I looked at, or a Fiat or a Pacific or whatever it might be, or an Odyssey, and whether like it doesn't, they will narrow it down for you and get you exactly what you have to have. When you're checking out at rockauto.com, make sure you write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Locked On NBA today is the Tuesday edition. It's pretty good. Wes Goldberg, Locked On Warriors, David Ramil, Locked On Heat. Good perspective on the Heat-Celtics series as well as on the Lakers and Nuggets. So make sure you check out the Tuesday edition of Locked On NBA today. All right, so who has cap space? This is where it gets interesting. Bunch of teams made moves and ended up kind of using some of their cap space. And so you got to ask yourself, if you're one of the marquee free agents, and we'll get to who they are, would you want to go to these teams? And then I think if you're one of these teams, you have to ask, like, are we really ready to go sign a marquee free agent? So the Hawks have the most cap space. They used a bunch of it to get Clint Capela. And they've got a spot. Now, I think the Hawks might be more likely taking in somebody who's in tax problems. And we're going to get to that in a second. The cap space might turn out to be most valuable for tax problems. Because teams are going to be under tax pressure if that tax drops like we talked about. So the Hawks have somewhere between $43 and $50 million. They have a lot. The Knicks are next at about $41 million. Again, like, do you want to play for the Knicks? Do you buy into the new management of the Knicks as a team you want to go play to? They're going to go probably sign. They would be more likely to sign a veteran. They're in perpetual rebuild, but not with young players. The Hawks are interesting because they have so many young players, and eventually they're going to pay Trae Young, and eventually they're going to pay Cam Reddish, and eventually they're going to have to pay, well, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, they've been kind of up and down about what they think of John Collins. All right, then the Pistons are at $28.2 million. Blake Griffin's still on their books. I think that, you know, Blake's body seemed to be completely failing them. They moved Andre Drummond. Feels as though they're in a rebuild. $22.5 million of cap space for the Hornets. Like, they don't have a lot of pieces for the future. They don't seem to me like they're going to go sign the max deal, by the way. So here's where it gets... All right, so we're now under the max deal. Like, the max deal is 28.7. If you're a 7 to 9 year player, it's 34.5 if you're a 10-year player. Like, so now the only teams, the Hawks and the Knicks, have max deal money. The Pistons are close, and we'll talk about who the free agents are as either today or tomorrow and whether there's any one of the max deals. Now you're at the Hornets, 22.5. The Heat are at 21. That one's interesting. But most people think the Heat are going to push to 2021 when Giannis and everyone's available. Are the Knicks going to push to 2021? Do the Hawks have grandeur of 2021 when the free agents are better and the cap is better? Like, there's a chance the Knicks are going to hold. There's a chance the Heat are going to hold or just do one-year deals. And there's even a chance the Hawks would hold a little bit. And the final team is the Suns, who are at $19 million. And again, the same question. Do they hold for 2021? So we have six teams out there that are playing with more money than the mid-level exception. We go back to that mid-level exception. What's important here is if you're offering someone a contract, let's go with the Nuggets and Jeremy Grant, and he's at 9.3 opts out and you offer him 11, well, your only threat if you're the Nuggets is the Hawks. Or maybe the Hornets are willing to go up, and then you got to decide how far you're going to go. Is Jeremy Grant so perfect for the Hawks that they're willing to suddenly give him $15 million and then Denver's in a cap problem? Maybe. Maybe. Is Jeremy Grant wants a payday? Are the Hornets willing to give him $15 million? Maybe. And then you know, the Suns are at $19 million. They've got to pay. Devin Booker's coming up. They're going to have to pay some guys, but they also might want to push it. So what now, the only other teams that are left are all teams that are going to just stay under the cap because they don't have more money than the 9.8. You don't want to have $7 million of cap space and have the mid-level exception be at 9.8 because then you don't actually have enough money to go get somebody at the mid-level. Two other teams, Pelicans, assuming they re-sign Brandon Ingram, Raptors, assuming they re-sign Fred VanVleet. So they're out. So this is really, like, when we talk free agency, this is the most important part of the landscape. There are six teams with cap space. There's a feeling that the Heat are probably going to push to 2021 and only sign one-year deals. So that could take us down to five. We're not sure whether the Pistons are in full rebuild. The Knicks, the Hawks are unique. We're not sure where they're going. And then the Suns at $19 million are kind of right position, right spot. 2021 is this, like, more reasonable cap, better cap situation, more certainty financially. Teams are in financial stress. And better lines of free agents. Giannis is the big dog, right? And if the Jazz don't handle Rudy, right? Rudy's on that. So the 21-21 NBA free agency, Victor Oladipo, maybe Gordon Hayward, maybe Drew Holiday, Paul George, maybe Anthony Davis, like, that's... depending what happens with LeBron, actually, he probably fits into here. So that's the big class. Kawhi Leonard's going to be free again. So people are holding to 2021. The Knicks really are holding. Miami is holding. The Knicks have a new front office, so they have the freedom probably to go hold off. So maybe even we don't have very many players at all. Okay. Let's get to those tax teams because this is where the movement's going to happen in this offseason. This is where we're going to get the movement. If the tax is sitting at 139, right now the following teams are in a little bit of trouble with the tax. Boston, the Brooklyn Nets have $133 million on 10 players right now. Tax is at 139. Remember, the tax could drop. Now, let's say the tax does drop, likely going to drop somewhere, right? This is projected at 139 before the pandemic. Like, let's say it drops back to 132. I just said the Nets have 133 with 10 players and Joe Harris is a free agent. What are they going to do? The Warriors have $153 million on 11 players. The Rockets, who are financially strapped... Tim Fertitta had been pretty outspoken about their problems. The Rockets, for the 2020-21 season, have Russell Westbrook at $41 million, James Harden at $41 million, Eric Gordon at $16 million, Robert Covington at $12 million, P.J. Tucker at $8 million. Yeah! Kind of crazy, right? Like, they're in a tough spot. And they don't have a lot of way to get out from under many of these deals. If the tax threshold, they have like $900,000 before they add another player. Their total cap allocations right now are at $131 million for their active roster with like 25 million of cap holds, they're on the wrong side of this thing. The Clippers. Ballmer probably doesn't care, but that wasn't great, was it? I don't think that Ballmer would, I think, will be someone who eats up some deals here. This is how they profit. Their active roster is at 115 million right now without enough players. Jamichael Green, a player option for 5 million. The Lakers, the Bucks, which is a big story, and then the 76ers have 144 million allocated to 9 players. So 9 cap teams: Boston, Brooklyn, Warriors, Rockets, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, 76ers. We will look at those 9 teams pretty closely and see if there's players on those teams that maybe we want to go take away and profit off of. However, we're not out of the weeds yet, and I'll discuss that when we continue, because we are one of the 7 teams whose landscape could change dramatically. Today's show is brought to you by The Store, 1600 South 20th East, also located down at the Gateway, right downtown, with a great urban feel. They've got the great cookouts going on the weekends for those super pizzas. I love it. Just such a great community feel. Like, there's an energy and an activity and a funness to everything that goes on with The Store. 1600 South 20th East. Amy and Jeff and Scott have done such a wonderful job building up The Store. DJ Bowler Jack's there now doing great work with them. Whether it's the fun sweets like the Aggie ice cream, the only place you can get Aggie ice cream, whether it's the mudslide cookies and the lockdown mudslide ice cream, whether it's the food that they get pre-made that they put in the back for you, whether the chicken pot pie season's right around the corner, the enchiladas that are there for you as well. Check out all of those. Wednesday is sushi day, at least down at the Gateway. I stop by every Wednesday and grab the $5 rolls that are made that morning. Just fabulous. It's all at The Store, 600 South 20th East. Also located down at the Gateway. And next door to The Store, by the way, is Cottonwood Ace, which has the best Traeger lineup around. So stop by, visit The Store, 600 South 20th East, also at the Gateway. Locked On NFL has a new lineup of local hosts hosting the show, plus Peacock and Williamson. If you want your NFL recaps, go to Locked On NFL. All right, tomorrow we'll start breaking down who the free agents are in this landscape. We'll do a little of it right here, just very quickly. But there are 7 teams that are in a really interesting situation. So let's take the Indiana Pacers, for example. The Indiana Pacers, to me, are fascinating. One, I don't know what they're going to do with Victor Oladipo. So Victor Oladipo, I believe, is only at $21 million for his deal. But if I look at them right now, their active roster is at $124 million. They have about $12 million in cap holds. And they have about they have a bunch of money they could possibly really take a big jump. Like, if you look at them right now, the luxury tax is somewhere around 132 this year, going to 139. And they could sign, in theory, the way it looks, somebody to around the mid-level exception. You don't have to go the whole way with $9 million. And they also have the room, they also have the biannual. So they're very similar to the Jazz in a lot of sense. So, and really when I'm talking about the Pacers, I frankly could be talking about the Jazz, because if you want to compare the numbers on it, it actually gets pretty similar. So the Pacers, who I just broke down for you, the Pacers have $124 million on their active roster, and the Jazz have about $117 million on their active roster, right? So, and we have about $29 million in cap holds. They have about $12 million in cap hold. So it gets relatively similar, because we have the free agent in Jordan Clarkson. But, so we're sitting there with like $14 million under the luxury cap as we look at it right now. And they're sitting there with a little less than that, but there's some things that they can do. So, and even this gets kind of interesting for the Jazz if you look at it. So, but let's take this Pacer team. They've got a bunch of really interesting contracts too, right? And at some point, they got to figure out what they're doing with Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. So this is probably not their roster. But what's interesting about them, and why I highlight them, is because this is where the tax suddenly has huge impact. So they have the ability to go sign a mid-level exception player. They've been brilliant at this. They've been signing like 10, 11, just slightly above mid-level contracts and getting really good players like TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb and Doug McDermott and just doing a brilliant job in those kind of signings. So they could now sign a mid-level exception, and they could sign the biannual two-year $8 million. That would take them to 138.9, right under the luxury tax, unless the tax drops. And then they literally lose a move. And if the tax drops enough, more than, say, $4 million, they actually probably lose their ability to go get their use their mid-level exception. And then, are they trying to shed Jeremy Lamb? I might be interested in Jeremy Lamb at $10.5 million. Are they trying to shed Doug McDermott? I might be interested in Doug McDermott at $7.3 million. I don't think I really believe in TJ Leaf. Are they trying to shed TJ McConnell, who maybe they overpaid for at $3.5 on a partially guaranteed deal this year? Huh. Are they going to release him on a partially guaranteed deal? They're really, to me, they're really interesting. I also think Victor Oladipo's $21 million is really interesting. You look at us, you know, obviously Mike's player option 34, we're assuming he's going to take it. And Donovan's still sitting at 5 next year, and Rudy's still sitting at 25, probably goes up to 26 with his 27 with his incentives. We have the ability to possibly go get somebody. Jordan Clarkson right now is holding at $20 million on our cap. So that would allow us to... So our current luxury taxable items, you know, gives us a little bit of room, but not a huge, right? Practical cap space, we have less. So we have to figure that out. Now, the other one is once we sign Jordan for less than $20 million, we come down a bit. And we, in all likelihood, can still use those two deals, right? So if you go kind of add up our active cap space at 117, let's say we sign Jordan for 10, we're at 127. We go add our 9, we're at 127. We're at 138. Ah, what happens if that tax comes down too far? Right? So suddenly, this is where we get a little, we're kind of in that same situation that you sign Jordan to 10 and then that tax comes down from 139 to 135, and you could be right on the wrong side of it really fast if you also sign the mid-level exception. So we're similar to Indiana in that sense, that and we're similar to Denver's in a similar circumstance to this, and the Thunder in a similar circumstance to this, and they have Danilo Gallinari as a free agent, and Orlando's in a similar circumstance, and the Spurs are, and the Raptors are, where if the cap drops off that 139 that everyone projects it all the way down to 134 to last year's 132, whatever that might be and how that might happen, it could have a really dramatic impact. The Nuggets only have 10 players under contract right now, so their active roster is at 179, but their cap holds are at $72 million because of Millsap at $40 million. Plumlee's at $21 million, they're not signed. Once they get rid of those guys, it gets better for them. And Jeremy Grant sitting at 9.3, as we talked about. Well, are they going to have to pay Jeremy Grant 15 because Charlotte or Atlanta is suddenly willing to give him 15? Then they got to let Millsap go. And I think that's likely where they're going to end up. And then they got to fill out the rest of their roster, which doesn't sound so bad, but suddenly you're giving Jeremy Grant 15 and now you're at 116 and you got to fill out the rest of your cap hold rosters and now you're at 128. Now you want to make the next deal and you can't make it because the cap slipped. And this is where the market gets crazy, crazy tight, and teams, the movement becomes everyone moving their players. Like the Thunder are at 105 with $54 million of cap holds. Andre Robertson at 16. They're likely not to bring back. Gallinari at 33. Like they signed Gallo for a $15, $18, $19 million deal. And they're at 125 and they start filling out the roster. And if that cap comes down to 132, they don't have the mid-level exception. That's how it's playing. All right, quickly, we'll dig into this much more deeply in the upcoming weeks. Here are the free agents. Anthony Davis re-signs with the Lakers. Brandon Ingram re-signs with the Pelicans. Fred VanVleet likely re-signs with the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan is the first player likely to move. The Spurs are in this threshold. They let him go, but Do the Hawks want DeMar DeRozan? Do the Knicks want DeMar DeRozan? Do the Pistons want DeMar DeRozan? Do the Hornets want him? Do the Heat want him? Do the Suns want him? Probably not. Does DeMar DeRozan become a mid-level exception player? That seems really low for a guy that's made $150 million and was making $28 million. What is DeMar DeRozan's value? We'll dig into him. Montrezl Harrell. Clippers are over the tax. He made $6 million. This is his payday. Is someone willing to bust him real money? Is still Steve Ballmer not willing to match it? Andre Drummond, player option, $27 million last year. I'm assuming Cleveland re-signs him. That's why they traded for him. Cleveland used their cap space to go get Andre Drummond. Detroit decided they weren't re-signing him. Danilo Gallinari made $22 last year. We just talked about Oklahoma City. Where is Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City, there's some questions of whether OKC is actually going to take a step back and start their rebuild. That's Gallo gets interesting. Is Atlanta going to pay for Gallo? Probably not. The Knicks, maybe on a one-year deal. Pistons? Hornets? Heat? They loved him. Maybe on a one-year deal. Still keep space for 2021. Suns? Or does Oklahoma City just re-sign him? I don't think Gallo gets the free agent to the mid-level, but he's interesting. Mike Conley, player option, picks it up. We just ran through it. No one's going to pay him. Serge Ibaka, Toronto. Davis Bertans, Washington. All indicators are he's going to re-sign with Washington. Washington hasn't been mentioned in any of these. They're just there. They've got some money. They're over the cap. They'll just re-sign their own guy. Evan Fournier, Orlando, gets pretty interesting. He has a player option. If he decides to go out, is someone making $17 million? Where does he fall? And we just talked about tight the cap gets. Gordon Hayward, player option. Does he re-sign in Boston? Bogdan Bogdanovic, free agent, Sacramento, restricted. Is someone willing to use cap space above the mid-level for him? Is Atlanta going to give him an offer the Kings won't match? Are the Knicks? Are the Pistons? Are the Hornets? Are the Heat? Are the Suns? Those are your only teams. That's where this gets so interesting. There's six teams there. And the Heat on a one-year deal? They already have Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. I doubt they're going there. Are the Suns willing to pay up for him? Are the Hawks? Are the Hornets? Are the Pistons? Are the Knicks? If not, what does he get? Hassan Whiteside, Portland. Tim Hardaway Jr., player option in Dallas. Joe Harris, Brooklyn. We just talked about it. Joe Harris is a key part of Brooklyn. $133 million for 10 players. They got to re-sign Joe Harris, who made $7 million last year. He's going to want more. He's good. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 42% from 3. He's good. Does that mean they have to move Spencer Dinwiddie? Or is there a trickle-down? If Sacramento goes and signs Bogdan Bogdanovic, is there somebody else on their roster that becomes available? We'll walk through all these teams and look at them even before we look at free agency. I think that's a better thing for us to do. Marcus Morris for the Clippers. That's a mid-level player. He was at 15. Goran Dragic. Signed him to a one-year deal at a big number as a thank you and then be available for 2021. Tristan Thompson. Marcus Gasol. Paul Millsap. $30 million. Not going to get re-signed. Does he get anything more than mid-level? No. Does he get mid-level? He just picks his team probably. Jeremy Grant, we talked about. Jordan Clarkson, we all know well. Christian Wood in Detroit, a lot of hopes he gets a big money deal. Derek Favors. Favors at $17 million. Pelicans are going to be over the cap. Are they willing to offer him more than the 9.7 mid-level exception? He's made $100 million in his career. He made $17 last year. Is Favors get more from the Pelicans than $10 million? Pelicans get tight here pretty fast with Lonzo Ball and everybody else. One-year deal, maybe. Does Miami suddenly go give him a one-year deal on a Kelly Olynyk trade because he fits perfectly to them and leaves him open for 2021? Enes Kanter has a player option. Malik Beasley's interested but restricted. But he's restricted. Minnesota's matching. Are you rolling out? Do you believe in Beasley enough to roll out 12, 13, 14, 15? Jay Crowder, Justin Holiday, Aaron Baines. We'll dig into all these guys. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has a player option at $8 million. Alec Burks has changed who he is as a player. Averaged 15 points, shot 37% from three. Pretty interesting. Dwight Howard, Dario Saric, restricted. Restricted free agents that aren't getting more than mid-level are going to be hard to take away from anyone. JaVale McGee, Austin Rivers, DJ Augustine, Jeff Teague, Derek Jones, Otto Porter, player option at $27 million. He's taking it, but do you trade? Do they want out from under Otto Porter? And is there something the Bulls would want that fits for them better that you suddenly make a trade for a $27 million player somewhere? Nerlens Noel, Avery Bradley, Garrett Temple, Mason Plumlee, Bobby Portis, team option, going to be declined. Gets interesting, kind of interesting player. Chris Dunn, Jabari Parker at the minimum. You willing to roll that? He made 6.5 last year. Jakob Poeltl, I think he's really good. I really like Jakob Poeltl. 3.7. I think the Spurs pay him. He's restricted. Nobody picks it up. Kelly Olynyk, player option. Rodney Hood, player option. Carmelo Anthony. Mo Harkless. Let's dig into Mo Harkless before this is done. That intrigues me a little bit. Rajon Rondo. Wesley Matthews is out there. Myers Leonard. Kent Bazemore. Torrey Craig, restricted. Pat Connaughton. Kyle Korver. Juancho Hernan Gomez, restricted in Minnesota. Doubt they let him go. What about the other one? What about Willie Hernan Gomez? James Jones, Johnson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, good athlete. James Ennis, Robin Lopez, player option at $4 or $5 million. Doubt he doesn't take it. Tony Snell, Harry Giles. Is Tony Snell still a good defensive player? Three-point specialist, 40% from three. Made $11 million last year. How far are you willing to go? Player option might not be available, but unless you get a 4 or 5 year deal. Jamichael Green, I've always liked him. Langston Galloway, Bryn Forbes, Willie Cauley-Stein, Alex Len, Marvin Williams, Bismack Biyombo, Etuan Moore, love him. Maybe love strong. Michael Carter. There's 80 of these guys, and I just told you there's 6 teams with cap space. There's 9 teams over the cap. There's 7 teams that could lose their spot. There's no way these guys get signed for anything, which makes paying Jordan Clarkson $11 or $12 million or Jeremy Grant $14 or $15 million a really interesting question for teams. It's a fascinating offseason, and we're going to dig deep on a daily basis on Locked On Jazz. Have a great day.